Good morning, everybody. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us. We're going to dive into part four of our series, Gods and Demons. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying what we've been getting through Holy Spirit, through the Word. You guys been enjoying our series on Gods and Demons? A little bit? Some of you are like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Leading me down some weird rabbit trails on the internet. Okay, yeah, I'll pray protection over that. But we're going to dive into this. What I want to do before we dive in, what we've been doing throughout this, if it's your first time, welcome, we're glad you're here. Throughout this series, what we've been doing is pulling back the veil, revealing the tactics of the enemy. We talked about Ephesians 6, how our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and powers of darkness and authorities and of the spiritual forces at work in the heavens. And so we've been pulling that back and kind of just looking at and showcasing how demonic influences take place, how they manifest, and how that can, you know, influence us as well. But one of the things, like, as you hear these things, as you begin to go home and study these things and discuss these things, one of the things I wanted to share, and I'm going to kind of share throughout, but I wanted to give it to you before this, is that not everything is a demonic influence or a demonic attack. And so I sometimes as we get into these things, we can think that, and we begin to look at everything, and we're like, that person driving next to me, they're demon-possessed. Clearly, you know, or, you know, and we begin to, like, kind of, I say that jokingly, but I think there are times when we begin to put everything being a demonic influence that's coming at us, and while there is the reality of that, and we want to see that, not everything is that. But, and this is so important, everything is or has been negatively influenced by sin. And that comes down to us, our individual sin. Collective sin, how that affects our life, our relationship, how it affects the relationships with others, how it affects other people. Sin leads to brokenness, hurt, turmoil. And so everything has been negatively influenced by sin. And so we have to pull back the veil and see demonic influences, but we also got to take an own up for our own part in this and the choices that we make as we enter into sin. So I wanted to give that to you. I want you to use that and continue to process that and have that in the back of your mind. Today, I'm excited, man. I love the word that God gave me, where he led me, the revelation that he gave to me to give to you. Man, leading up to this, I've been telling it to everybody. I'm like, I don't even know if you're going to be here on Sunday, but let me just tell you what's going to happen. Come anyway, hear all of it, but this is so cool, and just had some really cool discussions, and so I want to give that to you. Now, last week, if you weren't here, we talked about demonic food, right? Anybody go to Taco Bell? And as you were eating Taco Bell, you're like, I don't know. Could be something bad going on after this, right? So we talked a little bit about that. If you're like, what is he talking about, demonic influences? Yeah, Taco Bell is from the devil. Anyway, no. You can go back and listen to last week's. So we talked about that and the demonic food, and this week we're going to talk about demonic storms. And I'm like literally talking about nature and how the influences of nature can nature can be influenced by evil. I want to show you this. I want to show you what God revealed to me, and then we're going to unpack it. So we're going to kind of correlate this connection between the demonic influence over a person and the demonic influence over a storm. And I just want to unpack it and begin to have you kind of, you know, chew on it a little bit, and then maybe go home and dive into it for yourself. So the two stories we're going to look at are in Mark 4 and Mark 1. Let's look at Mark 4 first, and then I'll show you how these two correlate. Mark 4, verse 35. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, this is Jesus talking, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. And so they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? So he got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Be silent, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked one another, Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him. All right, let's jump over to back towards Mark 1 now. This is a story I kind of talked about briefly in week 1, but we're going to revisit it for this for today. Verse 23 says, Just then a man with an unclean spirit was in their synagogue, and he cried out, What do you have to do with us, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him and said, be quiet and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsed him, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so they began to argue with one another, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. And he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now let me put these two together. You can go to the next slide for me. So I want you to see what's taking place. We read it in there. And so in Mark 4, verse 39, it says he got up and rebuked. And that the Greek word there is epitomio. So he rebuked the wind. And then he said to the sea, silence, be still. And that is phimao. And so you go to Mark 1:25 now. And we see the exact same phrase. One, he's speaking to the sea and the wind. The other one, he's speaking to a demon who has possessed a man. And what does he say? Same thing. Jesus rebuked him, epitomao, and he said, be quiet, phimao. And so, and then you see the kind of the translations, you see it in the Greek. And so it's to rebuke is right there. And I love the definition of phimao is to silence or to muzzle. I really like muzzle. I know there's power to that, to like muzzle a demonic influence. And so I love that. And so those two things correlate. And what's interesting about these two phrases, this is the only time you will see them together in the Gospels. Now, there's, I think it's Luke 4:35, it talks about the same story, but this is the only time you see them together. This is the only time you see epitomao and phimao put together. And so, within both of these stories, here's what happens. Jesus rebukes the demon, and he rebukes the storm. And then Jesus muzzles the demon, and he muzzles the storm. And so, like, I'm reading through this, and I'm like, God, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to show me? And I'm just processing this, and I'm going, because it's fresh on my mind. We just talked about it, and I'm like, this sounds familiar. Hasn't Jesus done this already? And I'm like, why would Jesus choose to use the exact same phrase in the exact same way? Why would he rebuke and muzzle a storm the same way that he rebuked and muzzled a demon-possessed man? And so you look at these, and so there's an internal demonic influence, right? Where there's this man is being possessed. It's going on in his life. And in that man's life, there was turmoil, there was anxiety, and there was fear, among other things. But these are some of the things that we see in the story. And then we look at the storm, where there's this external demonic influence. And you want to know what you see? You see turmoil. You see struggle. You see anxiety. And you see fear. And Jesus is rebuking these things. And so I'm putting these things together, leading me to believe that if Jesus rebuked and muzzled the storm, then this storm is not from the Lord. This is from something that is out to get them, that is out to attack them, that is out to influence them in some way. And something I pondered, sometimes you read through the Bible, you get a revelation, and like there's a natural tendency to kind of kick back and be like, I don't know. That seems kind of crazy. I just don't know if I can really process what that would mean if Satan has control over nature. Like, and you kind of lead to yourself, does Satan have control over nature, right? Does he, can he? Like, you begin to kind of internally process that and go, I need to look up some other scriptures and see what this means in scripture and see what this means in my life. Well, the first thing I need to tell you, no. Satan does not have control over nature, but he is given permission to use it. And so he will use nature, he will use the elements, he will use storms in order to negatively affect you, to bring demonic influence in your life. Let's keep unpacking this. We've done this every week where we kind of tie this together, Old Testament, New Testament to now. And so we're going to go back to an Old Testament story about a guy named Job. You guys know the story, right? Job's this guy, and he is, he's a man of God, and in Job 1, it says Satan's, just walking around doing mischievous things, and he shows up, and he's talking to God, and God's like, hey, what do you think of my servant Job? And he's like, well, Job, the only reason he follows you, the only reason he obeys you is because you protected him. And so there's this whole story where Job loses everything, right? His family, his livelihood, and his health. And in this story, the enemy is given permission. So Job 1:12. Lord told Satan, everything he owns is in your power, but he says, he's very specific, like you have permission, but only as much as I'll give you. So you must not lay a hand on Job himself. And so he's given permission to attack him, to influence him, to come at his faith in order to get him to fold. Now, the first attack of nature, this isn't the first attack, but the one of nature that we see is in Job 1:16. And a lightning storm strikes from heaven. What you need to know about heaven, like we would think, okay, that's the heaven, that's the realm. What this means is this is the sky. This is like, okay, we're down here and then up there, everything up there is the heavens. And so there's a lightning storm that comes down. So sometimes you can read that and be like, well, if Satan is the one attacking and it's coming from heaven and God's, sorry, I'm getting kind of out of that, but I wanted you to see that correlation. And so there's this lightning storm that comes. It burns up the sheep and it burns up the servants and it devours them. So the first use of nature, where he destroys them. The second attack using nature is in verse 19. It says, suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert, struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on the young people so that they died. And so you have two powerful forces of nature that were used by the enemy to cause death, destruction, and hurting. Now, as you read through the rest of Job, which it's a long book. There's a lot of discussion that takes place. Do you want to know what the majority of the discussion is about? It's about what did Job do to deserve the storms and the attacks in his life, as if somehow they came from God and he deserved the things that were happening to him. If you know the story, if you've read the story, and I'll share with you in a minute, you begin to go, well, man, did Job do anything wrong? Did Job do anything to warrant or deserve these attacks? Actually, in Job 1:8, it says that he was blameless. It says that he feared God. It says that he turned from evil. At the end of all the attacks, it says in verse 22 that through it all, he did not sin. He did not blame God. I mean, everything was taken from him. And still, he kept his faith. And so we get some evidence from the Old Testament that suggests that the storm can be a demonic influence. And if a storm can come from God Satan is given permission to use the storm, to use nature for evil, then as we experience storms, we have to determine if the storm that we are experiencing is due to disobedience to God or obedience to God. And so this is the question we'll ask in Job's story. Did the attacks, did the storm, the demonic influence of the storm, did that happen to him because of obedience or disobedience? What do you think? Obedience, right? Blameless, feared God, never turned to evil. And so these attacks are coming because Satan requested to attack him, and God's like, go ahead. Job's good. And so we see this demonic influence. Let's look at another story really quick. Another favorite story, the story of Jonah and the whale, right? I'm just going to paraphrase this. So Jonah is a prophet of God, and God says to him, hey, Jonah, I want you to get up. I want you to go over to Nineveh, which is like this, like the enemies. They're just horrible people. And I want you to proclaim my word to them, and I want you to have them repent. And so Jonah, he gets up, gets on a boat, goes the opposite direction. And in Jonah 1:4, it says that God hurled a violent storm at him. So there's no questioning where this storm came from, and it was hurled at him. And so we ask the same question. Was this storm that Jonah was experiencing due to obedience or disobedience? Disobedience, right? And so we have a storm that is demonically influenced because someone is living for God. And then we have storms that come because we are in disobedience to God. And so this leads us to believe that this storm was sent by God in order to bring correction, repentance, and redirection. And we see that take place in Jonah's life. Now, I want to get back to the Mark 4 story, but I want to reiterate. Not everything is a demonic influence or a demonic attack. Not every storm will be due to sin or disobedience. Sometimes a storm is just a storm. Now, we do live in a fallen, broken world. Sin, again, negatively affects everything, and so we do experience those things, whether directly related to our actions or directly related to someone else's actions, or maybe there's a demonic influence, but we need to begin to see that there are multiple layers to things that are going on. Now, we will experience storms. We have experienced storms. We will continue to experience storms, both physical and figurative. And whenever you're experiencing a storm, you meet, whether it's natural, demonic, or godly, we have a choice. And we can either choose to see God working in and through them, or we can let the enemy lead us to be defeated, discouraged, or even disheartened. Every storm has the opportunity to be turned for the good of you and the good of others if you love God, if you obey God, if you follow his word, and you follow his will. And that's found in Romans 8:28. And we see that story weave through the Gospels and through the Old Testament as well. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Mark 4. So we dove into some stuff in the Old Testament, kind of talking about that. So now we get to this. Jesus rebukes and muzzles a storm. And I'll just give you quick context. You might know this. You're reading through the Gospels. You go back a little bit. And what are Jesus and the disciples doing? They're doing ministry. You know, they're healing people. They're ministering to people. They're sharing the gospel. They're casting out demons. They're feeding the multitudes. And so they're there, and Jesus is preaching, and they're doing miracles, and they're on a boat, and the crowd is pressing in. And they're like, all right, we've done some good ministry work here. Let's go over to the other side and do some more ministry work there. And in the realm of this story, we don't get a hint of sin. We don't get a hint of disobedience. And so now we go, okay, but they were attacked. And so in the midst of this storm of going from one place of ministry to the next place of ministry, was the storm that they experienced one of obedience or disobedience? What do you guys think? Obedience. I mean, they're there. Jesus is there. They're doing the work, they're doing the ministry, and the storm comes. And so I'm just helping you kind of process how I came to where I was. And, you know, if they're living in obedience and Jesus rebukes the storm, can we conclude that the storm was not from God? And if it's not from God, then who's it from? And we could look and be like, yeah, maybe it was just a storm, but again, we go back to like these very specific words that Jesus uses also to cast out demons, leading us to believe that this just isn't some storm that happens. And I'm sure storms just happen all the time there. But this one was specific, and there was a demonic influence, and Jesus rebukes it and muzzles it. And so God revealed this to me, and I think it's very, very important for us to see, for us to realize, like, that our enemy, he does have power. Now, it's only power that's given to him by God, but he's given permission to use nature, to use storms, to come at us, to attack us. And so it's so important that we understand that, that we see that, and that when the storms come, we know where the storm is coming from, right? We got to determine that. And so, and I got this revelation, but along with it, I got some lessons. And so the first lesson is that we got to determine who is behind the storm in order that we respond appropriately to it. Now, oftentimes, when storms are coming, right, living in Florida, we rebuke hurricanes all the time, right? Like, I bet a lot of us were like, what's this? Who's Sarah? Why is Sarah coming at us? Like, it's too close to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we're all like, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Go somewhere else where they're more sinful than us. You know what I'm saying? And we were probably rebuked Milton, and we rebuked Helene, and we're like, no. We don't want it. And, you know, it's fine, but not every storm is demonic. Sometimes those storms that are coming may be from God. I didn't share this last service, but I was thinking about this as it pertains to when we were launching our church and a hurricane came on our launch day. And I remember going through this process and just thinking, man, if God sent this storm, then maybe he's trying to tell me something. But then on the flip side, you go, and I don't think myself big enough to think that a hurricane would come to stop me from planting a church, but look at the church now and look at the lives that have been saved, and the enemy didn't want that happening in Polk County. Anyway, you go back and you look and you go, man, the enemy was trying to thwart what God set out to do. He wanted me to experience turmoil, anxiety, and fear in that moment. So let's move on. And so, How do we determine if a storm is due to disobedience or obedience? And some quick ways. Like, I've been sharing about this. I've been talking about this. You just begin to examine. As you're going through the storm, begin to examine these things. What were your influences? leading up to it and now? Are you being biblically influenced? Are you being influenced by God's word, by God's people, by prayer, by praise, by worship? Are you being influenced by biblical standards? Or were you being influenced by cultural standards? Or were you compromising to culture that led to you experiencing this? And that'll help you determine where the storm is coming from. And then there's our motives. You know, what were we doing? Why were we doing it? Was it for God? Was it for ourselves? And then I think the big one is obedience. What has our obedience been to God lately? Did we hear what he said and obey? Or did we hear and go the other way, right? And we see that in Jonah's story. Like, we know exactly what God wanted us to do. We're like, I don't want to do that. And so, you know, if you begin to examine these things and look at these things and say, okay, this is what I'm experiencing. This is the storm that I'm going through. Maybe it's from God and I need to correct and redirect and repent. Or do I need to see this as what it is? It's an attack on my obedience to God, and so I need to rebuke and muzzle it. Because here's the deal. When we're influenced by God, obeying God's will, seeking to bring him glory, we may experience a storm that is demonically influenced due to our obedience to God. And we need to recognize that. Recognize it for the attack that it is. But on the other side, if we are being influenced by culture or being influenced by demonic influences, whether we know or not, whether we're just obeying our will or seeking to bring ourselves glory, then the same would be true. You may experience a storm that is righteously influenced due to your disobedience to God. Let me put it like this, just to help us kind of navigate this. Godly storms, when you're going through a godly storm, if God's going to send a storm your way, it's going to bring, his desire is for it to bring conviction, correction, and faith. He wants to grow you. He wants to help you. He wants to mature you. He wants to see where there's something wrong. He wants to see where you're being disobedient, and he wants to use this storm to help you see that, and it'll lead to more faith. A demonic storm, on the other hand, will bring confusion, deception, and doubt. Think about the followers of Jesus. All the things that they saw him do, all the ways they, you know, the miracles that he's done. They're on a boat, he's sleeping, and they're terrified for their lives that they're gonna die. Confusion, deception, doubt. So it's important to know how we need to respond to storms. If it's demonic, does it require rebuking and muzzle? Or is it godly that requires correction and redirection? Now, as I was going through this, and we're thinking about storms and talking about storms, you know, it was also impressed upon me that while there are external influences, evil influences that are coming at us that we need to recognize and rebuke and muzzle, at the same time, we've also got to be rebuking and muzzling ourselves, right? Like our own internal sin struggles. You read through Jesus' ministry, and we've been talking about it. Jesus rebukes demon-possessed people. Jesus in this story is rebuking a storm. And there are times, multiple times, where Jesus rebukes his disciples, rebukes their actions, rebukes the sin that is taking place in their lives. And so we need to be aware, we need to examine the external demonic storms, but we also need to make sure that we're examining the internal sin storms that are going on in our life. So that's lesson number two. Learn to rebuke and muzzle your own sinful tendencies and desires. Why? Because not everything is a demonic influence or demonic attack, but everything is negatively affected by sin. And so you need to see it for what it is. Because maybe it's Satan asking permission to do something to you, or maybe it's you choosing to sin and doing something to yourself because of your actions and disobedience to God. And so you need to rebuke and muzzle gossip when it shows up. And I think this one is so deceptive, because I think especially within Christian realms, we get together with our Christian fellow believers, and we vent, right? And we share a prayer request. And as we're doing that, we drag the other person's name through the mud, and they're the enemy, and I can't believe it. And we're like, all the bad. And we don't share what we did or what we said. We're just like, let me just tell you about how horrible this person is, and I need y'all to pray for me, for patience and peace. And in the meantime, you literally just gossiped about somebody else under the pretense of needing prayer. And you don't even know it. And then you do it again, and you do it again, and again, it gets worse and worse and worse, and you do it about more people. And the enemy goes, I just turned your prayer session into a gossip session, and he says, and I win. And you need to begin to rebuke and muzzle that in your life. I mean, really. Think about who you're talking about. Think about who you're complaining about. Thinking about what you're willing to share with other people. They don't need all the details. You can literally say, hey, I had an incident with somebody the other day. Can you please pray for me? You need to seek wise counsel? Fine. Seek wise counsel and bring that other person along. And I guarantee the stuff that you were sharing with your prayer group probably won't be said if the pastor's in the midst and the other person is in the midst as well. Maybe we need to rebuke and muzzle sexual pleasure from watching, I'll say, implicit or even explicit. So, you know, watch things that are a little bit, there's just a little bit of nudity, it's not that big of a deal, and you're all going all the way to the other end where it's just full on. And we need to rebuke and muzzle that in our lives. Like in the name of Jesus, because that is an addiction that takes a hold of our heart and mind and grabs hold of it. And you need to rebuke it. And you need to muzzle it. And you need to stop it. Same thing goes for sexual activity outside of marriage. Maybe we need to rebuke and muzzle envy and jealousy. The rise of social media and everyone posting all their highlights. We go, I need that. I want that. I deserve that. I should get that. Envy, jealousy. And we need to rebuke it. Maybe some of you just need to like turn your phone off for a little bit. Stop comparing yourself to other people. We need to rebuke and muzzle pridefulness, where we put ourselves up on a pedestal. We're constantly judging other people. We think ourselves better. We think we know more, right? We think we're more spiritual. We think we're more righteous. And we're so prideful. And we just look down on everybody else and we don't even realize it. Or greed. But do you see what I'm saying? Like we have our own internal sin storms that we also need to be mindful of, as well as these demonic attacks. And like you think about that, like we got this going on inside, and then we got all these things going on outside. And this is why it's so important when we go back to Ephesians 6 that we put on the full armor of God so that we can resist the tactics of the enemy. Because he's coming at us from every single angle. One final lesson. And I talked a little bit about the permission that Satan is given. So that's the final one. You know, he's given permission to use nature for his evil's purposes, but he's not in control. And we saw that in the story of Job. There's another time in the New Testament, Jesus tells Peter that Satan has requested to sift you. And so, again, you begin to realize that he can't do anything without asking. And so he may be given permission to persuade, to oppress, to possess, or even destroy. But at the end of the day, Jesus has all authority. What I love from our stories in Mark 4 and Mark 1, I want to share this with you. It says in Mark 4, 41, even the wind and the sea obey him. And then in Mark 1, 27, he says he commands the unclean spirits and they obey him. And you know what this reveals to us is that Jesus has authority over the spiritual realm, rebuking and silencing demons. And Jesus has authority over the physical realm, rebuking and silencing storms. And so the enemy may be given permission to persuade, to possess, to oppress, but Jesus has authority over any work of the enemy. And I think it's so important that we see that. His power, Satan's power is significant, but it's not absolute. And it must align with God's permissive will. He's only allowed to do what God permits him to do. Lesson number 3 is Satan has limited permission. Jesus has all authority. You know, I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about how for some of my older kids, I have parental controls on their devices. And if you have these, you know how these work. So we'll give them a device. We'll put the parental controls on there. And if they want to download an app, you know what they need to do? They have to ask permission. And I can say, yeah. Or I can say, nah. Sometimes I'm just not feeling like it. And I don't even care what it is. And I just say, no. Right? And it really makes Seth angry. He's sitting right up front, so I'm picking on him. And so first, they need to ask permission to just use the app. And then I can control how long and when they're allowed to use it. And if they get real, real, you know, chatty with me, I can block and remove their permission as well. And so, like, why am I sharing this? Because God has Satan on eternal divine parental controls. My man can't do anything. without going to God, and he will be on parental controls until the day of his ultimate defeat. How promising is that? You know, because God is in control. And the enemy likes to put out there that he's not, but he is. Because Satan's power is limited. Satan's permission is limited. Satan's time is limited. And it's all under control of God. Here's the other important thing. Just as God gives the enemy permission to cause storms, you know, God gives us a choice. During those storms, we have a choice. It's a choice on whether or not to welcome the demonic influence or rebuke it, a choice to enter into sin that we're being tempted or abstain from it. And you ready for this one? We have a choice on whether or not we want to give Satan permission into our heart and our mind, or simply shut the door in his face and say, I see you, I know what you're trying to do, and God has all authority in my house. You're not welcome here. We have that choice. Yes, God will give him permission, but he's also given us the choice to choose the right thing and to obey him by the power of his spirit. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, be firm in your faith, knowing that the suffering that you are experiencing by your fellow believers is being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. And so, what's this say? Like, if you're going to obey God, if you're going to live for God, the enemy's still going to come at you. You're not alone, and you just stand firm in it. There are other people that are going through it, and they can help you through it. And so, you stand firm in your faith, and you recognize that, yeah, he's been permitted to do some things, but God has given us the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, we have been given authority to rebuke any attack that comes at us. So in our story, the enemy uses external storm, and we see this take place for the disciples. And that external storm causes this internal influence of fear and doubt. They wake Jesus up, they're all freaking out. They're like, Jesus, we're about to die. Why are you sleeping, bro? And he said to them, why are you guys fearful? Like, you've been with me. You've seen the things that I do. Do you still have no faith? And they played right into the enemy's tactics. And they let him persuade and influence their heart and mind. You know, I think one of the hardest truths of a Jesus follower is that the more you seek God and the more you do his will, the more protected you will feel, but the more attacked you will be. Because the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't want you doing the will of God. He doesn't want you obeying God. He doesn't want you telling people about Jesus. He doesn't want you experiencing joy and peace and love and kindness. He doesn't want any of those things. You've become a nuisance to him. And so he's gonna ask to do anything he can, anything that he's permitted to do in order to take you down. But at the end of the day, we don't need to fear him. You know what we could do? We just look at Jesus' example. What was Jesus doing? Well, the storm was raging on. My man is sleeping. Come on, put yourselves in this picture. You got seasoned fishermen who are on boats all the time, who probably deal with this all the time. And if they're saying, yo, we're about to die, then that means this storm is pretty fierce and there's water coming in and they're thinking they're going to capsize and it's a crazy thing. And Jesus is like, you know what I'm saying? He's just sleeping. And why is that? Because he's resting. He's resting in the presence of God. He's resting in the fact that they just did some amazing kingdom work. He's resting in his Father's love. He's resting in his Father's protection. He's resting in the fact that the enemy only has limited permission. And he only has limited power. Now, he may have some other information that they weren't aware of, but he was resting in the fact that the enemy is defeated. And we have that now. And we know that now, right? The enemy's, he's defeated. Now, he's still permitted to do some things, but ultimately, he is defeated. And so, I want to stress this. The enemy is given some permission some of the times, but Jesus has all authority all the time. In your life, in your marriage, with your kids, whatever storm you're going through, all authority. That means that Jesus has the power and authority to rebuke and muzzle any any demonic influence that is attempting to thwart what God wants to do in and through you. But not only does Jesus have all authority all the time, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest gifts he ever gave us was the same power and authority through the Holy Spirit. And we can rest in that. Because Jesus died, he rose again, and he gave us the Spirit. He gave us, oh, it's the Comforter, right? The Holy Spirit comes to comfort. The Holy Spirit comes to bring us rest. Even when we're going through things, we remember, you know what? There may be attacks going on all around me. I may be dealing with things mentally or emotionally, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And because of that, man, I'm saved. I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And he's victorious. And I'm victorious. And we use the Holy Spirit to rebuke and muzzle any demonic influence that comes at us. As these storms come, examine your life. Look at what your influences are. Look at what your motives are. See where you're being obedient, see where you're being disobedient. If you examine these things and you find I am doing my best to live in the will of God, to follow God, then rest in that obedience. And know that if you're getting attacked and you're being obedient, then you have ticked off the enemy. Keep it up. Keep going after it. Keep using the authority that you have been given to do amazing, miraculous things for God's kingdom. So Jesus rested, and then right when he got up, he rebuked and he muzzled. And I think that's the example for us. We want to rest in our obedience to God, but there will be moments, there will be times where we recognize the demonic influence that's coming at us. And in the name of Jesus, we have to rebuke and muzzle those things that are trying to bring fear and doubt and worry and anxiety into our lives. I want to close in a special way. I want to ask that you guys would stand with me as I read our final word today before I go into prayer. Romans 5, verse 3 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only that, you ready? We rejoice in our afflictions. We rejoice in our suffering. We rejoice in our storms. Because we know that affliction produces endurance. And endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is a powerful truth. The enemy may be given permission, but you and I are given the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget that. Whatever storm you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, remember who came and died for you and rose again and gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, what a remarkable revelation that you've given us today. God, sometimes having our eyes open to things in the spiritual realm can be or feel overwhelming. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. Sometimes we want to ignore it. But it is a reality. It's a reality that we see Jesus deal with. It's a reality that we see the disciples deal with. And it's a reality today. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit revealing your word to us. Thank you for opening our eyes, removing the veil to the demonic influences. God, I pray that we would see. I pray that we would know. I pray that we begin to examine any external attack that we're feeling. Examine our lives, examine our influence, examine our obedience, examine our motives to allow us to properly respond to the storm that we're facing. If we're living in obedience, if we're living in God's will, we may not be perfect, but we're pressing on And we're living for him, and we're living to work for him and to serve him and to share the message. Then God, man, we can have hope in our obedience. We can rest in our obedience. May we be encouraged in the fact that the enemy took notice of the great kingdom work that we're doing and stay the course. He has permission, but we have the power of the Spirit. But maybe today there's a storm. A storm you've been experiencing, a storm you've been going through. And maybe you said, God, I rebuke this. I don't want this. Remove this from my life. And God goes, no, I'm trying to show you something. I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you today. God wants to work. God wants to move. God wants to break any bondage. God wants to remove any sin that is habitual for you. God wants to correct. God wants to convict. God wants to redirect your life. If you're living in disobedience, if you're living in sin, recognize it today. Repent of it today. And move forward in confidence and in hope with the grace and the forgiveness and the love and the mercy that God has shown you and will continue to show you, because he loves you and he cares for you. And he'll never stop doing that. God, we are thankful for your word and its power. We are thankful for what it's shown us in your character in the Old Testament and New Testament, and how it is relevant to what we are going through today. Continue to grow us, to develop us, to strengthen us in your word and in your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.